You recording?
Yep.
Okay.
Hello, this is Yahoo's with the microphone. This is Brian Scuttle.
Ronnie Haynes.
Hey, man.
And we're here to talk about the original Toy Story, which, God, has it been 10 years already?
Almost.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years already. It's 95, it's 2000, yeah. Well, it's almost 2005.
Yeah.
Now. I was looking at the Oscar nominees that went with this movie, and I think I read Pocahontas, I'm pretty sure, for their song.
Yeah,
and I was just like Pocahontas.
Yeah, does anybody really remember that song? I mean, you know, it's like it. Let's put it this way: it shouldn't have taken 6 years for Randy Newman to win an Oscar for a Pixar movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He should have won this year with You've Got a Friend in Me, or 1999 with When She Loved Me. Either one of those would have been acceptable. His Monsters Inc. song, not bad, but
not
my favorite.
Not as great as his Toy Story one. I mean, I remember watching this opening day and really getting a kick out of it. Of course, not knowing how genius Pixar was going to prove themselves to be in later years.
I mean, and I mean, I had no idea. You know, just watching it again, I didn't really realize how well it was going to hold up over the years. I mean, this still looks extremely good.
Oh, yeah, it really does.
I mean, it's been really some groundbreaking things in terms of animation.
And the thing that's remarkable is, I mean, even if you compare something like this and even the Toy Story 2, even 4 years later, it feels like, I mean, you don't really notice huge advances in CG animation
right.
between film to film,
right.
but you can tell that they're there.
Right.
And I think that's part of the reason that this holds up so well.
Right.
And of course, we're listening to You've Got a Friend in Me right now.
Who's singing that?
Randy Newman.
Is he singing that too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's been he's been a performer for years.
That's true, yeah, okay.
Although at the end, they've got the Randy Newman Wild Love It version.
The duet?
Yeah.
I think I remember. How old were we when this came out?
Oh, I was 18.
18, 19, yeah. So
yeah.
I guess I was probably 17.
Was,
and
yeah, it was our last year of high school.
Mm-hmm. And I just remember Thanksgiving weekend, really wanted to see this. And I had some friends who live just down the street who are a couple years younger than I were. I think, you know, 12 and 11 or 13 and 12 and two little brothers. Two brothers who lived just down the street from me, and we decided to go see a movie together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only one who wanted to see this. I think they wanted to see. I can't remember what was out. What else was? I can't remember what else was out at the time, but it was like Ace Ventura 2 or something. They wanted to see something. I was the only one. I was the oldest kid there. I was the oldest person there, and I wanted to see this. I was just I was that excited about it.
Yeah, this was, I don't know, this was, I guess, my second year of real hardcore movie watching. And, you know, I was just getting into watching anime movies again in theaters. And I've actually seen
we really hadn't had a reason to go see an anime movie in the theaters in a long time until this.
Well, I mean, The Lion King was, like, the one that, you know, that just... You know, up until recently, was the highest-grossing animated film of all time. Mm. You know, it's since been surpassed by both Finding Nemo and Shrek 2.
But that's due, I think, due in large part to just inflation of movie ticket prices. I don't know.
I think Shrek 2 probably will beat it anyway, considering it. Went over $400 million.
I'm just never that impressed anymore with, you know, certain movies being the highest grossest animated or highest grossest, highest grossing, you know, animated movie. When, you know, I'm just not that impressed anymore because I know that a large part of that is due in part to inflation of movie ticket prices.
Right.
Yeah, but
which also excessive hype, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, if a movie's going to make, you know, 300 million, 400 million sales, obviously somebody did something right somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well,
a general amount of popularity.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, it's like 100 million, back when this was made, that was a big deal.
Right.
That was still a big deal. 100 million now, I mean, you're barely covering costs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, I think, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, you know, it started around this time that, you know, that much, making like 100, 130 million isn't really that big.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you start getting into 200 and 300, and it's like... Yeah, we should mention something. I have
voice
a feeling
work.
That's a... I have a feeling that's a Joss Whedon line. It sounds, feels like a Joss Whedon line.
Hmm.
Yeah, and we should talk about the voice sound. Obviously, Tom Hanks as Woody, absolutely perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Annie Potts from the Ghostbusters movies as Lil Bo Peep.
Don Rickles is Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah. The hilarious...
John Ratzenberger is the piggy bank.
Yeah, Pixar's Lucky Charm, as they call him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in every movie of theirs.
Was he in The Incredibles?
Yeah, he was the guy...
Was he the Mauler?
Yeah,
he was
the
Mauler
guy?
Guy
at the very end.
Yeah, that's what I was listening for his voice.
I know,
the
so
time.
Was I. And I don't think he's done too much recently, recently in this movie, but Wallace Shawn as Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, best
I think probably my favorite character.
Yeah, but he does that.
Yeah.
Brilliant job.
My favorite character in the Toy Story movies is Rex.
But I like...
Yeah, Wallace Shawn, best known as... oh, what's his name in The Princess Bride? I can't remember. I can't remember, but he's the inconceivable guy. How come I can't remember his name?
That's because I think that's what he's mainly known for.
I know.
That's like
it's like, I love that movie. Like, it's one of my favorite movies, and I can't remember what...
He's the guy who said inconceivable all the time.
Yeah.
That's him.
I mean, I know he's done other stuff, but for most people our age, he's best known for that.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how at the beginning of this, we kind of got each character's introduction.
Yeah.
And within like a 30-second period, you know, we kind of had the entire character's personality, mm-hmm. you know, and we kind of got that all just within all these short introductions. I thought that was
really
well done.
Yeah, they do a really good job. And you'll... I just noticed on the books, on the bookshelf, you notice some of the titles are from Pixar shorts, like Knick Knack and Tin Toy,
mm-hmm.
which is what they won an Oscar for back in 1988.
I thought was neat was seeing actual toys that I had grown up playing with.
Right.
I actually thought that was kind of mm-hmm. neat.
Well, like, I wonder how much trouble they had to go through in order to get, you know... Some of these board games.
Yeah, like Twister and Operation.
Yeah.
Barbie, Mattel.
Well, Barbie
you know,
didn't show up until Toy Story 2. Mattel wouldn't let them use it for the first one.
Well, they said the name Mattel in there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mouse
but
track.
They wouldn't let them use Barbie specifically
right.
in the first one. And then they made up for it in Toy Story 2.
The moment that started the very first teaser trailer. Right here.
Yeah.
The detail that goes into these toy soldiers is
I mean,
ridiculous.
It's just, I know. And you've got the little pieces of excess plastic hanging off them, too. It's like, that is excessive detail.
The bent gun barrels and everything. They talk about that in the commentary, like,
mm-hmm.
like how they were very specific about that.
Yeah.
And some
the main soldier, we should say, is voiced by Arlie Arney, who's best known for his psychotic. I can't remember what rank he is, but
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, his role in Full Metal Jacket, which is
crazy.
Basically what everybody only knows him as.
Right.
Isn't he that guy on the History Channel doing some sort of special on...
No, I think that's the guy from Survivor.
Is it?
I don't know.
Okay. Is it because of his voice reminding me of him?
Yeah.
This entire sequence is...
Oh, it's just hilarious.
Brilliant.
It's so funny. I actually watched one of the extras, and they were doing the storyboard pitch for this sequence. It's really funny.
And seeing some of the animators nail their shoes to
4x4s
and walking around to like figure out how that would look.
Yeah. I'd forgotten they'd done that. That's right.
A good soldier never leaves a man behind.
It's the ultimate war movie cliche, but it's so funny because it's done so convincingly.
I got like the details on that they have on the walls too. You know,
Being
scuffed and stuff like that.
Yeah, the ball from Lexo Jr., which I believe was their first short.
He's okay. There they are.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of quotes lines in this one, because like every Pixar movie, they just do hilarious lines. Why did that kid? Oh, that's later. That's right.
Aren't they talking into the wrong end of the baby monitor?
Yeah, they actually are.
I heard that some.
No, yeah, they actually are.
Yeah.
But you know, it's so funny. Who cares?
Yeah. What year did Tom Hanks win the Oscar for Philadelphia?
93, mm-hmm. or for the 93 movie year, and
yeah.
Then he won the next year for Forrest Gump.
Yeah, so.
Who's the actor that plays the dog?
Jim Varney.
The late Jim Varney.
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned
him. Yeah, we didn't mention that. I apologize. Rex really is one of my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they mentioned on the Toy Story 2 like, commentary. I can't remember if they mentioned on the first one, but, you know, the inspiration was actually the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. I just loved the idea of doing a T-Rex that was so the opposite of that one.
Right, right, right.
In terms of personality.
I'm just making a movie about, toys, your toys moving around when you're not there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of so absurd that it works so well.
Well, it's absurd, but, I mean, it also makes sense.
Oh, yeah, right.
How many kids that age don't feel like, how many kids that age actually, feel like, why not?
Yeah, I remember being a kid that age, you almost consider your toys to be alive in some way.
Yeah.
Sometimes you almost even think about, what
mm-hmm.
what do they do when you're not there? So yeah.
I mean, it's an absurd idea, but it's also an inspired one too.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of just Pixar itself,
mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah.
A bunch of absurd ideas that are very inspired, very honest.
Well, touching on that.
Well, it's because of the fact that the story comes first with
right.
them. I mean, they know they've got the technology, or they'll get to the technology, but the story has always come first, which is why they've put out the best animated films in the past 10 years.
Well, touching on that, I couldn't help but... One of the things that resonated with me after seeing this movie the first 3 or 4 times, however many times I went to see it in the theater,
mm-hmm.
was the fact that this was such a childish concept, but...
Yeah. Well,
was taken so. I mean, I took it so seriously.
These guys took it seriously, when they were making it. Yeah.
It's because of the fact that they also, besides the fact that they focus more on story than anything, they also make
focus
sure,
on character.
Well,
yes.
Character, but they also make sure that, in addition to the stuff for kids, they have plenty for adults as well.
Right.
And that's the problem with a lot of animated films and family films in general.
Right.
Of course, here we've got Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear.
Another brilliantly played part.
Yeah. Brilliantly written part, too.
Okay.
I love the saying of the word hello. Hello.
I like the callback in Toy Story 2
yeah.
of the point of view of Buzz through the helmet.
Uh-huh.
You hear the Darth Vader. Darth Vader breathing. Isn't Bugs Life, though, Brian, isn't that your favorite Pixar film?
It was until Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just my second favorite Pixar film.
Mm-hmm.
But, I can't explain it. I just love that it's such a pure comedy. And
you have your own theory, interesting theories about it as well.
Well,
you care to share them with us,
Brian? They're not my own theories about Bugs Life. It's an idea that I read in USA Today when they compiled their top 10 list for that year. They have Bugs Life at like 3 or something, and they put forth the idea that the movie was really inspired by Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. And the fact of the matter is, if you watch Seven Samurai and you watch Bugs Life, you can see it. Granted, it's played on the comic level, whereas, you know, whereas Seven Samurai is clearly a drama, but the basic outline is the same.
Yeah, and I was reading some stuff about some of the influences that these guys get from different sources. And, you know, I mean, I've read where they've taken a couple of, you know, anime influences, you know, and they're all big anime fans, you know, Miyazaki fans and whatnot. And they've taken that, some of those aspects.
Yeah.
Know, and incorporated it in there, you know, nothing truly hardcore.
Well, yeah, John Lasseter was the one who
produced the English language version of Spirited Away, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And I also think it had something to do with Grave of the Fireflies. That movie.
Mm-hmm. Great animation on Buzz. His face is priceless. I can't. That's one of those adult references. Hopefully kids don't get.
Sadly, I know too many kids probably do get.
Oh, I'm sure.
But again, such a... I don't know. It was a movie that was, you know, essentially made for everyone. But then,
yeah.
you watch the commercials, you watch the trailers. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing you're gonna think is, you know, kids movie.
Oh yeah.
And then
definitely.
You go to see this, and you're just like, not only does it adhere to the adult in you, but it also makes you feel like a kid again.
Yeah.
Which is the truly great thing about this. Toy Story 1 and 2. I mean, again, those are probably... I actually really enjoyed The Incredibles. That was the first one I really got a kick out of ever since Toy Story 2. I mean, they're all really entertaining films, but none of them had really resonated with me like Toy Story 2 and you know, until The Incredibles came along, which I really enjoyed again. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the you know, Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo for what it's worth. But yeah, the Toy Story 1 and 2 box set, the ultimate toy box, you know, the big DVD box set. That was like one of the first boxes I'd ever bought.
Yeah.
Like that was right around the time when that came out. That was right around the time I really got into and became such a real DVD enthusiast.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. You spend how much on DVDs?
I guarantee you, it's not nearly as much as I've spent. But anyway.
No, but you remember I came home with like this DVD that I spent like $50 on.
Yeah.
You're like, how much? Yeah, I just, this is like one of the first ones that really got me interested in the medium, and I became a real DVD enthusiast after looking at some of this stuff.
Yeah, this wasn't one of my
some first of his commentaries.
Yeah, this wasn't one of my first ones. Actually, one of my first box sets was another terrific Disney box set, the Fantasia Anthology. Another great Randy Newman song.
You know, in any, under any other circumstances, these songs would almost seem a little awkwardly placed. That's just my opinion. I mean, you know, they're all great songs. You know, you can't really argue with Randy Newman, but you know, just. But I think that was very intentional to have songs support the story and not have any of the characters actually break in the song.
Yeah. Right. Which was basically a thing to do now during this time in animated films.
Right.
Didn't really get out then. Yeah. Didn't really get out then until Tarzan came out. That's right, Mulan was the one before that.
Mulan is one that I don't think I've ever seen, but
Well, like a lot of just traditional Disney animated films, it's really well animated, but the story, you know, you're like, eh, it's not that great. That's my favorite line the entire movie. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
One of my favorite extras on the DVD is a little piece of animation with something that Tom Hanks did in Turner and Hooch. A Tom Hanks line from Turner and the Hooch. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I've ever seen
There's
that.
There's just a hysterical piece of experimental animation with the Woody character speaking a Tom Hanks line from Turner and Hooch. It's absolutely priceless. Where's that bondage strip?
Light snack. Gotta love his names for Buzz.
Yeah, I mean, just
the sound design in the is incredible.
Gary Rydstrom's sound design
is just ridiculous.
I mean, just all of the Pixar movies, he's just done phenomenal work.
I know. I know that.
I can see Tim Allen really acting like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean they. They captured Tim Allen and his facial expressions and his movements.
And Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks as well.
I mean.
Well, if you look at some of the test animation that went on before they signed these two actors, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, they look, you know, and then add the difference from the test animation, you know, to the actual film. You know, you can tell how much they incorporated these two actors into these characters.
Yeah. You're mocking me, aren't you? Slinky Dog's one of my favorites, too.
I must have kicked him out early this year.
Sort of makes you wonder how early does he get kicked out usual years.
It's a combat Carl.
Clearly
not,
they
not the G.I. Joe.
Yeah, clearly
sure.
They can get G.I. Joe.
Right.
Combat Carl's funnier, though.
Yeah, really is.
Isn't that Happy Child? Really good villain too for this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, just
really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what would you have as a villain for, you know, a movie about...
Well, that's
villain?
The thing. Yeah. That's not what I would... I mean, that's... I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, no. Yeah, I thought maybe some sort of evil toy that was coming in to do something. Maybe.
Yeah, like exactly.
That.
Yeah.
But to have an extra neighbor kid blowing up to it.
Yeah.
Just
I actually good. Like him better than I do the toy collector in Toy Story 2 as a villain.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit better of a villain.
Yeah.
I was a great villain in it.
Well, I mean,
but,
you know, it's like Wayne Knight being the villain, not a whole big stretch. I mean, Wayne Knight's great, but it's like it's a little too obvious.
Plus, Sid, I think Sid's less. I think he's at least less expected. You least
yeah.
expect him.
It's not to say anything bad about Toy Story 2,
absolutely
which is
not.
Great.
Absolutely not.
In fact, I think it's probably the best movie Pixar's done.
Mm-hmm.
I
would have to agree with you on that one.
I like how they're playing with Buzz Lightyear playing cards.
I love hearing in the commentary how they gave Tom Hanks, you know, like a magic eight ball to play with while he was recording this. And I can just see him
yeah,
playing with a
really.
Magic eight ball. Don't count on it! No! I can so easily see him doing that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, he's done so many dramatic roles recently, you forget how funny a guy he can be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and these
you know, and
really
we more or less
roles.
Got to see that in The Lady Killers recently, although, you know, that was just not...
That's just kind of surreal comedy
yeah.
that you see. I mean...
personally, my favorite Tom Hanks performance is his work in The Lady Killers, but, I mean, the movie as a whole just didn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes,
we were talking about that just a few days ago.
Yes, we
actually.
Were.
Indiana Jones,
yeah, clearly Raiders of the Lost Ark inspired. Is that that classic scream?
Yes, it is.
You always hear in movies. That's one heck of a bounce. I'm sorry. If he goes into CPR. You can. It's like R2-D2 in the Star Wars movies. Who can understand what he's saying? Yeah, Tom Hanks and Tim Allen's performances here really, and a lot of other Pixar performances that have come since, really do make you wish that the Academy would honor voiceover actors
right.
in some way. I mean, even if it's just in their own category, like they have started to do with animated features.
Right.
But, I mean, so many performances have just been ignored in terms of awards.
Exactly. No, I totally agree with you, Brian. You know, I mean, that's not easy work to do.
No, it isn't.
it's really not.
Especially considering the fact that in... I would guess 99% of the cases, you're not dealing with actual picture.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. You know, and so you got guys mm-hmm. who are, like, facing each other, maybe, you know, in a sound room.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Well, Monsters, Inc., I think, was one of the few where the two co-stars were actually in the same room.
Yeah.
Right.
Billy Crystal and John Goodman.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think there was some work between Tom Hanks and Tim Allen in this, you know, in the same space. But
yeah, I think so too.
Beyond
I think more in the second one, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I
yeah,
can,
but,
I
but when you think of the work that Al Brooks and Al DeGeneres yeah. did separate from each other in Finding Nemo.
Oh yeah, and I mean that's just astonishing. A113, a room for animators at CalArts. Brad Bird, who just did The Incredibles for Pixar, uses that a lot in his movies, too. And John Lasseter went to CalArts as well. So, but, yeah, I mean, I can rattle off, like, I don't know, one or two performances at least in each Pixar movie that are great. I mean, Tom Hanks and Tim Allen in this one and the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey in the... In A Bug's Life, Joan Cusack in Toy Story 2, you know, Billy Crystal and John Goodman, Monsters, Inc., Albert Brooks, Ellen DeGeneres, Finding Nemo, and recently. I love the fly on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I disagree with you on that, Brian.
I wish
that was recognized.
Because, I mean, it all, you know, I mean, and not to get too far off the subject, it also, in order to one of the great recent ones, which is Andy Serkis's Gollum.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, which, granted, has nothing to do with this, but still,
right.
You know. And Holly Hunter in The Incredibles, who I just thought was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, she was good.
Jason Lee's syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was one of Jason Lee's best performances.
I'm syndrome. I'm your nemesis.
At least he knows how to say the word. Like, well, like some fanboy geeks and pop culture.
I'm a lost toy.
That's the great Tom Hanks. I mean,
yeah, I mean, Tom Hanks can just like go into like overly dramatic from like, you know, 0 to 60. Just,
oh yeah,
you know, just roll into overly dramatic and just be hilarious.
Yeah. One of my favorite Tom Hanks moments is actually in Sleepless in Seattle when him and his buddy are talking about the Dirty Dozens.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
that.
They're just bawling their eyes out over it. It's so ridiculous.
He's not going to get nominated for Lady Killers, though, is he?
He's probably not going to get nominated for anything this year, which is a shame. He's actually given several great performances this year. Lady Killers and Terminal. And I thought a few of his performances, or at least one of his performances in Polar Express, was really good, too.
You're a child's plaything. Child plaything.
You are a sad, strange little man.
And you have my pity.
Star Trek. Clearly.
Good riddance, you loony.
That truck actually made a cameo appearance in Bug's Life. And, of course, in Toy Story 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the way, I mean, you know, they wrote those lines for Buzz Lightyear, you know, making it sound so serious, you know, and then Tim Allen just plays that off. It's so great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they talk about in the Toy Story 2 commentary how they really missed diluted Buzz after the first one.
Right,
that's why it comes back in the second one.
Yeah.
They make that switch because they just loved him.
I remember
he's just hilarious.
I remember listening to the commentary for the first movie. Them saying they wrote Buzz a certain way, and then Tim Allen came in and recorded, and he came on sounding more like a space cop more than a superhero.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you know what I'm talking about, I mean, that's, you know, he was supposed to be, he was written originally as, you know, just like a Dudley Do-Right type, and then Tim Allen came in and made it sound. Gave it that much more weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that much more believable.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know if any place
Yeah, really. Well, I mean, I assume it's sort of like a Chuck E.
Yeah,
Cheese
yeah,
type
exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
But
not even Chuck E. Cheese goes.
Yeah, yeah, really. An idea they brought back for Toy Story 2 quite hilariously.
I want to see the crappy animatronic band that, like they did in The Simpsons. That one episode of The Simpsons. That's so funny.
That's so funny.
Dave, was this one of the films that really inspired you to, want to be a computer animator?
The inspiration for that happened a long time ago. But, this sort of just, solidified that, get authority to that, that you can actually get a job, doing, writing software for computer animation, And, there's so much software that goes behind this,
Yeah.
And a lot of it's custom software because, they're doing breakthrough stuff each and every time.
Mm-hmm.
Hyperactive hyperdrive.
AstroTurf.
Dave, you haven't gotten a chance to see Polar Express though yet, have you?
I have not.
No.
It's pretty impressive in terms of the animation.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the very least you would appreciate it on that level.
Okay.
Yeah,
I took a look at just the trailers, some of the character animation. Mm-hmm. I was like, a lot of it was style, but some of it.
Yeah, the style's kind of hard to get used to,
right?
Because it's not photorealistic. It's
right.
They're not necessarily trying to do what Final Fantasy did,
right?
But it's kind of weird. But once you get used to it, it sort of, it's pretty easy to watch after
right.
that.
But the train and the ice stuff, that looked pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, that stuff is sweet.
Yeah.
I love the toy.
I mean, I just don't see how they come up with these ideas. I mean, these ideas are so inspired.
I have no idea.
So crazy,
Speaking of deluded, I have been chosen.
I go to a better place.
No, you don't.
No, no.
So funny.
Did they ever mention in the commentary what the rules are? Do the toys automatically? Because at the end you see the toys coming back to life or whatever.
Yeah.
But how much do they respect those? Is respecting those rules? Sometimes it seems.
Well, that's the thing. What he acknowledges is that we're gonna have to break a few rules to get out of the situation they're in
at
the end.
Right. So I guess it's all voluntary, but sometimes it seems like it's kind of automatic.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily remember what happens. So I wonder if those rules were ever completely defined.
Love how positive the alien is here. So horrific.
I know.
Yeah. So horrific. I actually find Sid to be pretty sympathetic to a certain degree. That's why I like about that's why I look for in a good villain is sympathy.
He just stole his little sister's doll.
Yeah, really.
No, but I'm saying
and now he's gonna go tear it apart. Did you see him kill the green thing?
Yeah, really.
He just sacrificed the green thing to his
dog. I appreciate your opinion, but it's like I just don't see it.
But I do though. I mean, I mean that's what I look for in a good villain.
Well,
I don't believe that man's ever been to medical school. But I find him strangely sympathetic. Don't ask me why. You know, like that line. I mean, like, you can tell he's kind of a troubled kid. And I for that reason, I sympathize for him, you know. Again, don't ask me why.
Okay.
You can ask me why, and I'll do my best to defend it, but, you know. I mean, we could be talking about that the entire, although
I know
we haven't been talking about it that much, so probably a good time filler. But no, I think he's a very sympathetic villain. That's probably why I like him more than I do Al in Toy Story 2. I'm so glad I didn't watch this before I came over here because I really didn't want to be fresh
too,
because
actually.
I knew I wouldn't be laughing as much.